DOT plans to fight New York congestion bring an angry response from the Controllers Union. Consolidation is coming, and Southwest intends to be a buyer. And Boeing signs a deal to bring more aerospace work to India. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Aerocast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, December 21st, 2007. Just hours after U.S. Transportation Secretary Mary Peters announced new fan-out departure options for airliners leaving New York and Philadelphia airports were taking effect immediately, the National Air Traffic Controllers Association warned that affected air traffic controllers got no advance warning and only minutes of training. NATCA President Patrick Forey said the controllers, who were in the best position to spot any issues the plan would create, were left out of the planning process. Quote, "What we have now, courtesy of the FAA, are all the ingredients for an aviation catastrophe, and it both saddens and infuriates me," unquote. The union says controllers at Newark were given a 20 to 30 minute face-to-face briefing on new fan headings, and a facility notice was issued by the facility FAA manager. Newark controllers say there's a potential for conflicts between the aircraft on the new headings and the small private aircraft flying near Linden Airport, which is 5 miles to the southwest and right in the path of the new headings. NATCA says the FAA has failed to warn these small aircraft. The Newark FAA manager told controllers no notice to airmen has been issued. NATCA also says the new headings aren't on the charts yet, requiring controllers to advise pilots of those new headings. In a recent question and answer session with the Dallas Morning News, Southwest Airlines CEO Gary Kelly said Southwest is likely to be involved in industry consolidation, but only as a buyer. Quote, "At some point, I think we'll probably acquire somebody. We'd want to be prepared for that opportunity that presents itself," unquote. For the moment, Kelly says Southwest is interested in doing the best it can in an industry he calls very tenuous and not prepared for a looming slowdown in the U.S. economy. Quote, "It'll be an interesting 2008, unquote. Kelly says Southwest is in a better position than most of its legacy and low-cost competitors, and in a good position to continue its successful brand identity. Quote, "I don't want to be like other airlines. We want to be Southwest. We want to be low fares. We want to have great personal customer service. We are not going in a direction like some of our European counterparts who, they don't capitalize C in customer, I assure you," unquote. On Thursday, Boeing and India's Hindustan Aeronautics Limited signed a 10-year memorandum of understanding intended to bring more than $1 billion in new aerospace manufacturing work to India. The agreement also includes sharing key Boeing business and manufacturing tools with HAL. Boeing and HAL have agreed to explore business opportunities aimed at transferring work packages to India with an initial value of $10 to $20 million annually, increasing in size and complexity as business opportunities develop. Boeing will support HAL in developing production of hardware for Boeing and its subcontractors. Boeing will also provide management training to the extent regulators and its own policies allow. Boeing has a history in India going back more than 60 years, and in 2003 established a wholly owned subsidiary, Boeing International Corporation India Private Limited, to support the growing demands of India's aviation, aerospace, and defense industries. Hindustan Aeronautics Limited has 18 production units and 9 research and design centers in India, with 32,000 employees. We're already seeing parts of the 2008 news agenda take shape, and the U.S. Air Force's KCX tanker competition looks now like it could drag on into the spring. Reuters reports Air Force Acquisition Officer Lieutenant General Donald Hoffman told reporters on Thursday, quote, "We'll take whatever amount of time it takes to get to the right answer," unquote. The suggestion the deliberations may last past the mid-February target are just the latest in a series of program delays. Boeing appeared to have had a contract in 2003 to sell and lease 100 KC-767 tankers to the Air Force for over $23 billion. But Pentagon officials learned former Air Force Chief Negotiator Darlene Dryan was hired as a Boeing vice president before the deal was consummated. She later pleaded guilty to criminal charges, and Boeing fired both her and the man who hired her, Chief Financial Officer Michael Sears. Shortly after that, CEO Phil Condit abruptly resigned. The current bidding includes Boeing with its KC-767, which is based on the 767 airliner, and Northrop Grumman and Eves, challenging with a variant on the Airbus A330, which can serve as a tanker, troop carrier, or transport aircraft. Up next on ANN, NASA will wait until after Christmas to set a shuttle launch timetable. An astronaut in orbit mourns the death of his mom on Earth. And Airbus has new instructions for routine testing of its composite rudders. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for December 21st, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. NASA says it will delay a decision on when to launch the shuttle Atlantis until after Christmas. The announcement throws a wet blanket on the enthusiasm that was triggered by the discovery that fuel sensor issues were related to a feed-through connector in a wiring harness, which hinted the fix might not take long. Mission managers now plan to remove foam from the external fuel tank in the area near the connector. Program manager Wayne Hale said engineers will meet December 27th to decide on a fix, which will determine a new launch timetable. It's always tough to lose a loved one, and worse around the holidays. How hard must it be then when you're also orbiting the Earth on the International Space Station? Police investigators say astronaut Dan Tenney's mother, Rose, who was 90, stopped behind a school bus at a railroad crossing, became impatient and honked her horn, then drove around the bus and passed a lowered crossing gate into the path of an oncoming train. She was pronounced dead on arrival at the hospital. Police say it appears all the gates and warning lights were functioning properly. The tragedy happened in Lombard, Illinois, which his NASA bio says Dan Tenney considers his hometown. He was born in Pennsylvania, but is a graduate of Glenbard East High School, the same school attended by the students who were on that bus at the railroad crossing. Tenney was due to return to Earth aboard Atlantis by January 8th, but the launch of Atlantis from Earth has been delayed until at least January 10th, with the return to Earth now pushed back at least several days after that. Airbus is conceding its recommended methods for checking composite rudders for fatigue cracking may have fallen short and has stepped up inspections on the vertical stabilizers of 400 of its oldest planes, as well as a handful of newer A330 and A340 airliners. The Wall Street Journal reports the revised program subjects the tail assemblies of the affected planes to repetitive ultrasonic and X-ray inspections in order to find possible areas of weakness. Delamination in the composite core of the rudder assembly of an Air Transat A310 led to an incident in which the aircraft lost nearly its entire vertical control surface on a March 2005 flight between Cuba and Quebec. The aircraft was able to return to Cuba with no injuries reported. The incident prompted U.S. and European regulators to call for immediate and ongoing inspections of A300 series rudders. The new high-tech inspection methods replaced the original Airbus requirements for visual checks and tapping on rudder surfaces to detect changes in tone that would indicate internal failure. Airbus North America spokesman Clay McDonnell said the majority of the 400 A300s and A310s affected are flown by non-U.S. carriers. 20 A330 and A340 widebodies, which were assembled before Airbus changed its manufacturing process, are also affected. A runway collision avoidance system manufactured by Honeywell has attracted attention from Boeing and United Airlines. The Wall Street Journal reports United is in negotiations to install the runway awareness and advisory system throughout its 460-plane fleet, beginning early next year. Boeing, meanwhile, is in similar discussions that would make RAAS a standard factory-installed feature on all its new planes. Both companies confirmed to the Journal they're talking to Honeywell, though neither would commit to exact details. A spokeswoman for Honeywell also declined to comment. The system uses GPS signals to identify when taxiing aircraft turn on the wrong taxiway or attempt to depart from the incorrect runway. As ANN has reported, several critics say RAAS could have prevented the August 2006 loss of a Comair regional jet, which crashed on takeoff from the wrong runway at Bluegrass Airport in Lexington, Kentucky. The system is already in use on about 200 commercial jets, including airliners flying for Air France KLM, Lufthansa, and Alaska Airlines. It's an even bigger hit in the business jet segment, where 1,400 planes have the system. RAAS costs about $20,000 per plane, but would be less with volume. But Boeing notes that runway collisions and overruns led to 11 major crashes of Western-built airliners from 1997 through 2006, causing over 370 fatalities. That's over twice the number of crashes caused by mechanical failures over that same period. Still ahead, Cessna celebrates a milestone at independence. Boeing celebrates the golden anniversary of the modern jetliner. And the NTSB looks for airplane parts that went missing in flight. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, December 21st, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. Cessna told ANN on Thursday it's delivered the 8,000th single-engine piston aircraft since resuming production in Independence, Kansas 10 years ago. The customer was the U.S. Civil Air Patrol, Cessna's largest customer and one of the company's oldest customers. The Civil Air Patrol is a volunteer force with more than 66,000 members of the U.S. Air Force Auxiliary and flies more than 530 aircraft, primarily in search and rescue missions. The Independence facility was built when Cessna re-entered the single-engine piston market following a 10-year absence. The first Independence-made single-engine piston plane was delivered in 1996. Boeing Thursday celebrated what it calls the birthday of the modern jetliner, observing the 50th anniversary of the first flight of its 707. The recent resurgence in turboprops notwithstanding, Boeing calls the 707's debut the point at which propellers gave way to the jet age and air travel became affordable and available. On December 20, 1957, the 707's maiden flight was almost scuttled by weather. At 12:30 p.m., the decision was made to go, but as the 707 climbed over the city of Renton, the unpredictable weather immediately closed in and forced a landing at nearby Boeing Field after just 7 minutes in the air. Later that day, the sky cleared enough for the crew to take the 707 up for a 71-minute flight. Pan Am World Airways was the first 707 customer, signing up for 20 of the planes in October of 1955. In 1962, Pan Am took delivery of the last 707-120 series airplane. Production of commercial 707s ended in 1978 after 878 had been built. That number rose to more than 1,000 by 1994, when a limited production of military variants ended. Most civil 707s left in service today have been converted to freighters, while a number are used as corporate transports. And, of course, one is parked over at John Travolta's house. The NTSB is investigating an uncontained engine failure on a Southwest Airlines flight from Dallas Love Field to Little Rock, Arkansas on November 17th. The board is trying to find engine components that fell to the ground in a sparsely populated rural area of northeastern Texas. Flight 438, a 737-300, returned to Dallas Love Field after the number 2 engine failed. Pictures show a gaping hole in the outboard exterior of the engine fairing and minor damage to the plane's fuselage. None of the 133 passengers or 5 crew were injured. NTSB engineers developed a ballistic trajectory analysis to identify the search area 4/10 of a mile wide and 1.7 miles long located on private property. The owners will be contacted by the Hunt County Sheriff's Office and asked to notify the sheriff if an aircraft engine part is discovered. Because these engine parts and the exact locations of discovery are essential to its investigation, the NTSB stresses parts should not be handled by the public, but instead should be marked in place. Anyone else who finds parts is asked to contact the Hunt County Sheriff's Office at 903-453-6800. Authorities stress you should always get permission from landowners before searching on someone else's property. And finally, just 2 months ago, we talked to Big Sky Airlines President Fred DeLue on the Aero News special feature. He was excited at the time to be partnering with Delta on routes in the Northeast. Among its other routes, Big Sky would fly between the new Plattsburgh International Airport in upstate New York and Boston. Those flights were being dropped by Commute Air, a regional partnered with Continental, and Big Sky was taking over the routes and buying the Beech 1900D turboprops used by Commute Air. Fast forward 2 months. On Wednesday, Big Sky informed the Department of Transportation it will drop 86 total daily East Coast flights, many subsidized by the DOT. The department's Essential Air Service program was set up to maintain flights that didn't pencil out for the major airlines after deregulation in the 1970s. In an official statement, DeLue blamed, quote, a combination of unusually bad weather, disappointing revenue, and record-high fuel prices, unquote. In its notice to DOT, the airline cited, quote, enormous unsustainable financial losses, unquote, for the decision. The move will cost 140 employees their jobs when those routes are dropped on January 7th. The really bad news for Big Sky is that DOT will force the carrier to forfeit its more profitable Essential Air Service routes in the western U.S. as a penalty for abandoning the routes in the east. DeLue says that will amount to half of Big Sky's business and may force the carrier out of business within 60 days. If there are lessons for the rest of us, perhaps one of them is if one company believes a route cannot be profitable and another company steps in believing that route can be profitable, they can't both be right. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Ray Jarowski, Senior Aerospace Analyst at Forecast International. We'll discuss why turboprops are making a comeback and how industry trend forecasts are prepared. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and our website, www.aero-news.net. After today, our long-form Aero briefing and the Aero News special feature will be in hiatus for a few days. Both will return to regular schedules on Wednesday, January 2, 2008. Our four-minute Aero News Touch and Go will still be here each weekday except for Christmas and New Year's days to keep you up to date on breaking stories. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.